This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, here on Straight Fire for Monday, August 16th. It's getting close, folks. Getting close to football. A lot of football over the weekend. Little preseason action. Who doesn't love preseason action? It got me so many texts about, hey, Jay, when is the Fantasy Football League starting? Because I'm in multiple fantasy leagues. And, of course, people want to know the draft when preseason games are happening. I had some people texting me about wagers. Hey, are you betting on any preseason? Are you getting down anywhere? I was like, no. No. Well, I don't recommend that. But, by the way, I do recommend the New York Jets. I told my buddy to take the Jets against the Giants. I didn't lay it myself. Jets obviously were a good pick. They covered. The Giants are just playing all kinds of rookies, but I'm not allowed to talk about the moribund New York Jets this early in the podcast. I will say, it was a fun weekend for me. Although I will just say, quick travel note. I had to fly Southwest Airlines for the first time in a long time. Not a fan at all. It's just too willy-nilly with the, like, you could sit anywhere, and, like, that just led to some uncomfortable situations on the flight. Not for me, for other people. And I'm just like, eh. I'm just not a huge fan of Southwest. I do know other people swear by it. My brother swears by it. But I will not be flying cross-country with Southwest again. You can take that to the bank. Also, the multiple delays, which I hate more than anything. On to what actually matters. And by the way, there is going to be an NFL nugget later in the show that you guys are going to love. I don't think anybody even noticed this that happened over the weekend. But NFL ruled the roost. And, I guess the big headline from the first weekend of preseason was it was a bad weekend for veteran quarterbacks. Everywhere you turn, a vet quarterback was looking over his shoulder like, oh, damn, I might not win this job. I mean, Andy Dalton is the big one. Justin Fields was pretty good. I think Teddy Bridgewater thought that the job was going to be his. And I'm telling you guys, I like Drew Lock. I picked him Friday on Cowherd's show. I said he's going to win the job. Things are lining up for my Broncos. They're not going to win the Super Bowl like I bet on. But Drew Lock is going to win that job in Denver. He's the guy for that offense. I mean, they have some guys. They got some burners on the outside. And Drew Lock's got the big arm. He looked good. You could go back to Thursday. Mac Jones looked pretty good. I mean, the Patriots fans, I think, gave him a standing ovation. They were so thrilled. And then the one that was a little tougher was Trey Lance had, like, an awesome 80-yard pass that everybody on social media shared. I mean, he had enough time to complete, like, his MBA in the pocket. You know, he's only 21 years old. I mean, he's just sitting back there, easy to make the read. 80-yard touchdown pass, and everybody got excited. I don't think Trey Lance starts week one. I would be stunned if he started week one. The others, it's probably going to be Fields. I think it's going to be Drew Lock. Increasingly, I think it's going to be Mac Jones. We talked about some of these with Albert Breer last week on the pod. Also, by the way, a couple pretty good guests we have lined up this week. Pretty good slate of guys. And to go back to last week for a sec, Zach Wilson made his debut over the weekend. My guy, the Mormon Mahomes. And if you remember, a guy by the name of Sean King, who quarterbacked in the NFL, came on this here podcast and said that the Mormon Mahomes would be a bust. And Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask was awful over the weekend. Again, it's preseason week one. Nobody's reading into anything, really. He slammed Zach Wilson. And all the Jets fans that follow me really went after him. I felt a little bad for Mr. King. He was just getting obliterated for like 3 days on social media. And Zach Wilson, by the way, looked pretty good. 6 of 9. 63 yards, I think a couple scoring drives, maybe just one. And what impressed me was, like, it's third down and he's back in the pocket and he didn't have the happy feet that you see some young quarterbacks have. He looked poised back there. Does look a little small, especially when you have the statuesque Trevor Lawrence, who I thought looked all right. Jags did not look particularly good. But I would say my biggest takeaway was that Justin Fields looked really, really impressive. Like, Justin Fields, when he was on the field, you know, Andy Dalton started and then came over and told Justin Fields, you ready? You know, you go in and Justin Fields got all excited. It was a pretty cool moment. And Fields had some composure. And that's really what you're looking for. Not that the moment's too big, that you're going through the progressions. You're not forcing anything. Justin Fields, we know it, can tuck and run, and he's going to have to behind that offensive line, which is very, very bad. And if it's a bonus for Justin Fields, like, Andy Dalton is not as mobile as he was back in his Bengals days. he got killed last year behind the Cowboys offensive line. Justin Fields had a rushing touchdown against the Dolphins. And I'm not going to go in on Tua, but I will have a word on the Dolphins in a moment. And Fields just looked like he had total command of things. Like, okay, I'm going to tuck and run. Okay, I'm going to throw it on the run. I'm doing this, that, and the other. Like, Justin Fields was impressive, man. I think he made a push to be the day one starter. I don't particularly think highly of the Bears this year. I think they'll be a notch below 500, but I like Justin Fields. And the other guy I was really impressed with was Drew Lock, who really got a raw deal last year. Now, if you read my Fox Sports column, my offseason blueprint last year, I said Drew Lock would struggle. He's going to face tough defenses. Oh, and by the way, there was COVID. And oh, by the way, the Courtland Sutton got the best receiver got hurt in week one. Like, Drew Lock had no chance last year. And then he got hurt. This year, offensive line improved. Offensive line last year was a disaster. Courtland Sutton healthy. They add KJ Hamler, who, by the way, caught a bomb from Drew Lock over the weekend. Noah Fant, a really good tight end. Like, everything's lining up for Drew Lock. Like, you're going to have to defend this team at all three levels. Like, Drew Lock can uncork a 60-yard bomb. Judy, Hamler, Sutton, they can all run. And Fant underneath. Like, this team is good. Even Tim Patrick, who showed well last year when everybody else was hurt. Like, I like this Broncos team. They're not winning the AFC West, but it and this is a weird thing, and I'm sure Rob G will check me on this, but like, I don't know. I didn't come away from preseason week one really down on any teams. Like, everybody's like, oh, I can see this being a thing. I can see these guys being good. Oh, like, it's optimism reigns for all 32 teams, and you just don't get that in any other sport. In Major League Baseball, hell, two-thirds of the league doesn't spend any money on salary. They got no chance. None. The NBA is expanding. I mean, over half the league gets into the playoffs? The NBA, everybody opens the season, can we get to the playoffs? The NFL is legitimately the one league where every year you feel like somebody can get to the playoffs. You can't build a case for me that in the NBA, the Houston Rockets can make the playoffs, or even like the Pelicans. I mean, there's like at least a third of the league has no shot at the playoffs in the NBA. In the NFL, in all honesty, you can build a legit case that, wow, Jacksonville, they can make the playoffs. Now, listen, I could build one for my Jets. I'm going to spare you that the Jets can make the playoffs. But the optimism around these quarterbacks, listen, Mac Jones on Thursday looked pretty damn good. That's probably the biggest quarterback controversy we'll have. And I do need to add, Jordan Love in his debut as a Packer, not bad. I mean, he didn't look like, you know, he didn't vomit all over himself in the pocket. He didn't look like a total noob who had no clue what he was doing. I came away almost impressed with everybody. And the name I'll leave you with, and when the injury to Carson Wentz happened, I said, I don't think they trade for anybody. Jacob Eason looked pretty damn good. Now, it was only against the Panthers. He had nice touch on his deep ball. But again, he didn't look flustered. Like, it's not like the speed was too much for him. Remember, Jacob Eason was a big-time high school recruit. Massive. Like, five-star guy. Everybody wanted him. And then it just never really took shape for him. He went Georgia, then Washington. Fell in the draft a little bit. But he's got the arm and looks the part in the pocket. He's one of these 6'5 kids with the cannon on a howitzer on his shoulder. And I thought he looked good. Listen, I don't particularly love the Colts in the first 5 weeks. The schedule is daunting. The offensive line is banged up. But I don't think they go out and trade for anybody. Rob G, was there a quarterback that impressed you over the weekend? New World.
You know what? I was mostly focused on the rookie quarterbacks, you know, because I wanted to see what I hadn't seen yet. I've seen Drew Lock. I've seen Teddy Bridgewater. So I wasn't too interested in that. I will say the one who I was least impressed with, even though it happened later last week, not really over the weekend, was Mac Jones. And interestingly enough, he's the one that I'm most confident in getting the starting gig relatively early. Like, I know Zach Wilson is going to be the starter because they have nobody else.
I thought you were going to say Tua.
No. Like, you know, Zach Wilson's going to be starting because they have nobody else. But I think that Matt Nagy in Chicago is going to be a little stubborn. He's going to stick with Andy Dalton at least a week or two longer than he should. You know, Trevor Lawrence is obviously going to be starting because they have nobody else. I don't think any that whole quarterback competition.
Do not disrespect
No, that quarterback competition is,
by the way,
is fake.
What's his name? Urban Meyer is not, by the way, is not saying who's getting the job week one. I mean, we all agree it's got to be Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
But he has not, yeah. It's weird. He'll give a spot on the roster early to Tim Tebow, who we'll get to shortly, but he won't name QB1. Got it, Urban.
Right. That's the college coach, you know, mindset. Well, you know, we're competing every day. No, you're not. You're not competing. You know, there's salary cap implications as to why you are going to start Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, really between Fields, Jones, and Trey Lance, the one I was least impressed was with Mac Jones. I didn't think that he really did a whole lot that made me excited about his play. But Cam Newton just is not Cam Newton anymore. And you could tell immediately that if he doesn't have that explosive ability to run the ball, I don't trust him as a passer. So I think by default, I think that he's going to be the one who's in these quote unquote competitions. That's going to be Jones is going to be the one who starts out of that group.
Yeah. I don't even know if Belichick wants to run the ball. Given his offseason moves of two tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, adding Nelson Aguilar, former Raider, I feel like they're going to open it up. I'm not a huge believer in Mac Jones as a prospect, but with McDaniels and Belichick, like, those are two guys who kind of sort of know football. Like, any quarterback you get, it's like Kyle Shanahan. He got Trey Lance. I'm like, I'm not a huge believer. But guess what? Kyle Shanahan's going to make anybody look good. Like, that's what he does. Rob G., I will say, I could tell you over the weekend, Jerry Jones was muttering F-bombs at one point. Do you want to know what point that was?
Sure.
When Patrick Surtain of the Broncos got a pick six. That was the guy, by all accounts, that Jerry Jones really wanted. They circled a cornerback. They needed a cornerback badly. Patrick Surtain was his guy. He got a pick six in his preseason debut against the Minnesota Vikings. Patrick, I'm telling you guys, just keep an eye on the Broncos. I'm putting that out there. I know they're in your division with the Raiders. Everybody loves Justin Herbert. The Chiefs are Super Bowl bound probably for the 17th year in a row. Like, I'm just saying, this Broncos defense is going to be a problem. That'll be a team I'm looking to bet on early and often.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Rob, we need to quickly talk about Tim Tebow, because he had an, I was trying to think of like a big word to impress you guys for Tim Tebow's debut, like inauspicious or terrible. Tim Tebow, it just was not a good opener for him. And listen, I've been caping up for Tebow, no bones about it. I am rooting for him. I think he'll make the cut this week. I think there's cuts on Tuesday. Tebow had one whiffed block that was like not great. It wasn't ideal. And on the very next play, he really got just ragdolled by a defensive lineman and gave up a sack. They dropped the running back 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage on like third down. It was just like, can this guy block anybody? Like, can Tebow really be a blocking tight end? I don't know. The one pass that was thrown his way, Tavon Austin. Remember that guy drafted in the top 10 by the Cowboys? Or no, maybe it was the Rams? I think it was the Rams. Sorry, the Rams drafted him in the top 10. Tavon Austin stepped in front of the pass for Tebow and snagged it. So not a great debut from Tebow. I still think, listen, we've talked about it. Relationships matter. You know what you're getting in Tebow. He didn't have a good opener. He hasn't played tight end in his life. He's 33. Cut the man some slack. You know Urban Meyer will. He'll be better. Tim Tebow's a worker. Unless he decides, hey, man, this is just not something I can handle. This is above my pay grade. I'm done as a pro athlete. Then maybe he whaps it up. But I think Tebow gets another shot, and I think he'll be better. Rob, you have any deep thoughts on Tebow or not really? You just want to take a dump on him like everyone else?
I'm not going to take a dump on him, but let me just say that if Urban Meyer decides that he's going to roll Tim Tebow out there, I'm sure he watches the film better than even us casual fans and casual media members do. He has to know that he would lose members of the locker room if he keeps Tim Tebow on the roster. By all accounts, from everybody who's around the team.
Well, I mean, on the roster? I mean, it's not like he's starting.
No, by all accounts, from everybody who covers the team is in around the area, Tim Tebow is a fish out of water. Like, I know when they released that unofficial depth chart, he was listed as fourth, and that was the headline. Oh, Tim Tebow, fourth string on the depth chart. Until you talk to people who are around the team, they say, actually, it's Tebow or this guy. So you could technically say that he's sixth string, not fourth string. And by the way that he's performing, apparently, he is not very good. You know, you mentioned he's a 33-year-old guy who's not in the best shape of his career that he's been. You know, usually at this age, they're on the back end of their career in the NFL. And he's playing a position he's never played before. So you'd be hard-pressed to expect that he's going to be better. Like, he's going to have this untapped potential that the other guys might have. I don't see it.
Well, I mean, you probably don't remember trying out for sports as a young guy. But I certainly do, because I didn't make the basketball team as a freshman, and I was just crestfallen. I legitimately went in thinking, why don't I have a shot here? Like, sure, I might. I didn't play club or AAU or anything like that. I was just like a guy who played in rec leagues, and I was not dominant by any way, shape, or form. But I thought like I had a chance, and then you go in and you're nervous as hell because the coaches are watching, and you like you're doing the layup line at the beginning just to warm up, and you miss if you just happen to roll a layup off, you're like, oh shoot, I'm in trouble. I know this isn't Tim Tebow's first rodeo, but you have to wonder if playing in Jacksonville in front of a large contingent of Tebow fans and friends, like maybe he was a little nervous. Like, I'm going to cut the guy some slack. I do like to give people slack. Rob G does not. Like, that's just how he operates. So I'm going to give Tebow some slack, and I hope he is better in week two, because he certainly needs to be. We know the guy they drafted from Ohio State's making the roster. But I'll tell you this. I don't know about any of the other dudes being locks. New system, new quarterback, anything's possible. All right, Rob, we've got to pivot quickly to the NBA to wrap up here. Excuse me, because of what happened quietly for the LA Clippers on Sunday night. Woj reported it, and it didn't get a lot of hubbub because everybody's talking about NFL and preseason, and I didn't see a lot of traction on social media about this deal. But the Clippers traded Rondo, Pat Bev, and Daniel Oturu, who you don't know, for Eric Bledsoe, who is now having, I believe, his second tour of duty with the Paperclips. Now, why is this significant? You say, Jason, come on. This is maybe a starter in Pat Bev. Well, remember, last year, they needed to make a move for leadership because their fourth quarter struggles were very well documented. They needed leadership in clutch time. So they went out and got 37-year-old Rajon Rondo. Well, didn't really play a ton of Rondo in the playoffs. How about Pat Bev, your starting point guard? Well, he's a more interesting case because it's less about him being the starting point guard and more about being what he represented. He was the last piece from that tough dog Clippers team that featured Lou Will, Montrezl Harrell, Pat Bev. Those were basically, right, Rob G? Those three were like the leading trio?
Correct.
They were the ones who pushed the Durant Curry Warriors to six games when nobody thought it was possible. It was like, who? Lou Will, Harrell, and everybody loved the idea of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard joining those guys. And it never panned out. It was basically a divided locker room. You had the divas, Kawhi and Paul George, and then you had the guys who grinded their ass off to get where they are. Harrell's undersized. Lou Will's a one-trick pony. Pat Bev is just basically there on defense because he can't really do much else. Like, those guys fought for everything they got in the NBA. And they were like the heart of the Clippers. And the Clippers decided to trade their heart for Kawhi Leonard, who hasn't really done anything in 2 years. I mean, the bubble collapse, we know that was epic. And then if you guys want to give him a pass because he was injured with the ACL and missed the Western Conference Finals, that's fine. I get that. But overall, I just haven't seen it. And now I wonder, what are you doing with Eric Bledsoe? To me, this reeks of, oh, Well, we're not going to have Kawhi this year. Paul George is going to need help. He's got Reggie Jackson. Let's get him some more offensive help in the form of Eric Bledsoe, who has like one of the worst shot selections of any point guard in the league. You have Luke Kennard, who you gave $64 million to, and I'm not even sure where he factors into the rotation. Rob, listen, I don't know if it's bettable at this point, but Clippers to miss the playoffs, to me, would be, oh my gosh, that would be delicious.
Wow, okay, I don't even think I would go that far.
Well, do you think they're a lock to make the playoff top eight? Or play? Well, I guess play in with the play-in that they've expanded to in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Paul George. They still have, you know,
yeah, but the, this ain't the Morais. East Paul George.
They still got, you know, Reggie Jackson, Mr. June, they call him, whatever he is now, because he's so good.
Look, man. He does not have a nickname. I'm sorry.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This was being spun after the trade went down. And, you know, like you said, it didn't get a ton of buzz on social media. But what buzz it did get was, this is going to save the Clippers like $30 million against the luxury tax. This was a financial move. And I disagree. I think you hit on it right at the top that I think this was a locker room decision. I think this was the last of that streetlights over spotlights Clipper team, the Montrez, Lou Will, Pat Bev, you know, iteration of that team being kicked out the door in favor of the load management, practice when I want to, play when I want to. This is just a job to me, Kawhi Leonard era. And I know that this is going to sound harsh because Kawhi doesn't say anything. You know, he's very mute. So it's hard for people to really have a negative feeling or a negative thought about Kawhi because he doesn't actually say anything. But Kawhi Leonard has some snake tendencies. And if you haven't been paying attention the last few years, then that's your fault. Go back to San Antonio. You had Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, two Hall of Fame players who were part of the Duncan era, basically say that, yeah, you know, he could play on his leg. He's just choosing not to. Tony Parker said, I had a quad injury that was worse than his, and I came back, so I don't know what the problem is. So there's that. You had the people in Toronto who, this all gets glossed over because they end up winning the championship, but there were people there who were miffed that he was missing games without any real explanation. They didn't understand why he was doing it. And this has been reported several times. Okay? Then you go to the Clippers recruitment. We find out that apparently Russell Westbrook hit him up about joining forces. And what does Kawhi Leonard do? I'm going to tell Paul George, hey, you know that your girl's trying to talk to me in the DMs. Why don't you come hang out with me instead? Okay? He does that. Then he gets to the Clippers, or excuse me, he's negotiating with the Clippers after they have the Paul George deal in tow. And we find out that Uncle Dennis, on behalf of Kawhi Leonard, is asking for an ownership stake of the team. He's asking for access to a private jet. He's asking for a cut in merchandise sales. All these things widely reported. Finally signs with the Clippers. He's on the team. You think you've already kowtowed to this guy enough, you don't got to worry about it anymore. Nope, we find out the whole reason why the Clippers were attractive to begin with, because of Pat Bev, Lou Will, and Montrezl Harrell. Kawhi's like, nah, I'm not feeling that. I ain't trying to play hard every night. I ain't trying to, you know, give the fans their money's worth. I'm going to manage my knee, which apparently people can't decide whether or not he's really hurt or not. And I'm going to play when I want to. I'm going to practice when I want to. I'm going to live in San Diego. And if I'm late for a team flight, you guys can wait for me.
It's going to be weird not to be able to bash him next year. I mean, I guess when I say the Clippers are probably not a playoff team, Rob, they have zero room for error. Like none. So if their core right now is Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and Eric Bledsoe, and Luke Kennard, and whatever Morris twin they have to try to get to 42 wins, okay, that's probably doable. But Rob, that is assuming that there's like no injuries. Because if Paul George has to miss 10 games, what are they winning? Three of those, maybe? Maybe? Like there's certainly a path to where the Clippers are not in the playoffs next year. And, I don't know. Well, the Warriors are going to be better. We know that. Memphis is going to be good once again. We know the Lakers are way better. I think the Sacramento Kings had a pretty good draft, man. They were close last year. Stop. They were getting close. They got a couple things to sort out. Minnesota Timberwolves had like all the injuries. Karl Anthony Towns, your guy, former Laker, D'Angelo Russell. Like, I think there's certainly a scenario where the Clippers are not in the playoffs. Yeah. Hey, can I give a quick Rob G shout out before we wrap up the pod? I saw a movie on my flight back back west. It's called Boogie. Have you heard of it?
I thought you were going to say Las Vegas. No, I have not heard it.
Stop it. Las Vegas. Give me a break. I don't know if it's a Netflix movie or it was in theaters. It's basically the story. It came out in 2021. It's a guy by the name of Eddie Huang made his directorial debut, an Asian kid in New York City trying to be like a basketball star. And, you know, he's going up against this black guy who runs the city. And I guess the black guy is Pop Smoke, who passed away, I guess.
Correct.
I'm not all that familiar with him. What happened to him?
I know that he died. I don't know the details, but I do know the name Pop Smoke, and he died.
Oh,
it was a big
wow.
thing in the hip hop circles.
I remember this. He was renting a house in the Hollywood Hills, and some people came in and jacked him. That's right. And they killed him. Yeah, so he's in the movie as like the black basketball star, and there's obviously an attractive girl, but there's some good storylines. I think you would dig it if you like sports at all. It's a quick movie. It's like 90 minutes, so you can watch it easily. You know, it's got some young-ish people speak that I think some people are going to be like, what is this? But my young kids play video games, so they're kind of up on some of the new lingo. So I try to say it, and I sound very dorky when I say it. But they love that because it sounds so forced. So when they're Rob, I'm officially that guy. When my kids have friends over, I'll say something. And I don't mind saying this on the pod, and I know y'all are going to just be like, what a loser this guy is. But I'll be like, oh my gosh, no cap, Bryce, Bryn, you're not gonna, like, you know, and they're just like, what are you saying? You don't even say no cap. And I'm like, God, I still don't totally understand where it comes from. But did you see, I said to them this weekend, I was like, did you guys see LeBron dropped a no cap in his Instagram post about Russell Westbrook? Did you guys see that? I don't know if you saw it. But hey, listen, I'm a man of the people, Rob. So I would just recommend it. Listen, it's no Basketball Diaries with Mark Wahlberg, which is an iconic basketball movie. It's not the one with Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttleworth. What's that one?
He Got Game?
Yeah, it's definitely not that good. But it's a good basketball movie. Listen, if you got 90 minutes to kill, you know, you want to go on the Stairmaster and watch a movie on your phone, bam, it's done. You'll like it. Anyways, that'll do it for today's podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.